From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Can you recession-proof your life? Well, whether you're employed by a company, self-employed, or unemployed, the state of the economy will affect you and your family. So what is the latest on the big picture financially, and how can you safeguard your future? Here with us is author and economist Julianne Malveaux. She is also the president of Bennett College. How you doing?
I'm great. How about you, Farai?
I'm doing great myself. Now, some people say even if America isn't in a recession yet, they are personally in jeopardy. So where do we actually stand today? Are we in a recession? What does that even mean?
Well, the technical definition of a recession is that you've seen negative GDP growth for more than two quarters. That's a very technical definition. Many Americans have been talking about recession or certainly economic hard times for the past year or even more.
And when you say technical, let me just jump in. When you say GDP, that's the gross domestic product?
Exactly. So when you see growth going down, you see yourself in a recession. And it's, you know, it's standard English, frankly. It's not rocket science. But the fact is that the macro numbers for Farai belie what the micro reality is for so many people. We've been seeing layoff numbers for over 2 years. We've seen a 5.2% unemployment rate. All of those things combine to speak to at least economic hard times, but the technical definition of a recession is that you have two quarters of GDP going down. Now, let's look at the next quarter, because right now we don't have that. What's a depression? The depression is an exacerbated recession. So you might see 4 to 6 to 8 quarters of this going down. How it manifests itself is in less jobs. We've already seen that. We see it in terms of higher inflation, and we see it in terms of truncated opportunities. What has laid over where we are now is this whole subprime mortgage thing, which hasn't yet shown up in the numbers, but everybody knows that it will. And so while we can say technically we're not in a recession today, as soon as these subprime mortgage numbers bubble up, we know that there are going to be some problems. And so all of the things that you and I have talked about over the weeks and many others have talked about in terms of the subprime lending, as we see those happen, we see more people in distress. And really, the bottom line on a recession is not the GDP numbers, but the number of people we see in distress.
I want to go into a few different specifics about unemployment and then also ask what are ways people can cope. So you mentioned the overall unemployment rate is about 5% and 9% for African Americans. That doesn't sound as bad as it could, does it? I mean, what I mean by that is there are some people who are left out of those figures. Tell us about them.
Well, there are some people who aren't looking for jobs anymore. They're not even being counted. There are some people who essentially were small or medium-sized business holders who folded their businesses. So the 5.2% that we capture probably represents just half of what's really going on. And for people of color, especially African Americans, you know that people are worse off than the overall numbers. So while these numbers are concerning, what should be more concerning is what we don't capture.
What about people who are self-employed? In these tight times, some people are starting to trim their budgets and they're cutting things like piano lessons for kids, gym memberships, things that don't have to do with just the very basic paying of bills and keeping a roof over your head and keeping folks fed. How does that really affect people who are self-employed?
Well, self-employed people are often other people's discretionary spending. In other words, if I'm cutting back, and I had a trainer who was coming into my house 3 times a week. Maybe now she's coming in twice or once. That hits her bottom line. So we know that essentially self-employed people, if their discretionary spending, are going to be on the front line. The message for them is to diversify your portfolio to make sure that now if you're counting on one person, let's get 3 lined up. Let's be more flexible. Let's deal with issues about how you might provide different kinds of payment schedules and other kinds of things. But self-employed people, whether they're personal services, which we've just talked about, whether they're business services, the people who do the graphic arts work, who do the editing and other things, they're going to have to dance on a dime because basically when people start cutting budgets, they're the easiest ones to cut.
Now, if you're self-employed, and there are many people who have started, you know, any number of businesses, if you're self-employed, either, like you said, doing personal services or running a small business with other employees who work for you, what can you do to shore yourself up financially?
Well, as I said, the first thing is to diversify for Ride, to make sure that you have a range of clients with a range of possibilities so that you're not just counting on one or two. The second thing, I think, is to look at ways that you can perhaps provide fee discounts so that you lock people in. Rather than to perhaps say, I'm going to do this hourly, get a retainer in so that you know that you have some kinds of money coming in. The self-employed are the most vulnerable. And the challenge is this. We already said to people, you've got to be flexible. You've got to be self-employed. You've got to do these things. And so now we know that these are the people who basically have a lot on the line as we move into a recession. They have to be as creative as they were in starting their business in order to keep their business.
What about everyone who has a regular 9-to-5 or a job with a company, let's put it that way? What kinds of things should we be looking at in terms of recession-proofing our lives?
People need to look ahead. What's going on? Do you think that there's going to be a layoff? Do you think there's going to be a cutback? And what are you going to do about it? Plan B, do you have one? What are you going to do about what happens if you're laid off? And then the issue with people who work for companies is to be what I call an intrapreneur, not an entrepreneur. How can you make yourself so indispensable that you're not the one they're going to fire? People look around and say, I've got to cut back 5 people in my unit. How can you be the indispensable one? How can you be the one that they say, oh, we can't let Farai go because she does news and notes and no one else can do news and notes?
If you're someone who's in an industry where you think, well, yeah, there are going to be a lot of cuts. Like, think about the people who had the axe fall at Countrywide, if you were in the mortgage industry. If you really think that you are about to be cut or if you are cut from your job, what then?
What kind of deal can you cut to give you as much time paid as you can to support yourself and your family? In other words, if you look around and you see that cuts are inevitable, are you going to be the first one or the last one in the door to cut a deal for yourself? There are deals to be cut. Lots of companies don't want you out there angry or mad. They want to make sure that they at least provide you with something. So how can you arrange something that takes care of you financially and get there early rather than late? They're going to respond to people who are there early with innovative possibilities. And innovative possibilities might include, I consult, I can do these things, I can do wrap up. But those who come late are those who are going to get leased.
We've talked a little bit about employment, but what about the other end of it, spending? We touch on that. Maybe if you're that personal trainer, you're upset if someone cuts down from 3 days to 2. But on a practical level, if you're someone who's making money, you probably have to think about cutting back on some of these things that are discretionary, whether it's dinner out on Friday nights, et cetera. What's a realistic way? None of us like to cut back on our lifestyle, but what's a realistic way to assess how much you need to trim back, if you should have a greater nest egg of savings just in case, you know, for your rainy day fund, et cetera?
The realistic thing is to look at this time. All of us are getting hit by this notion of the economy changing, and it means that some of us are going to have less money. What are you going to do about it? Make a plan and work it. You eat out 2 nights a week? Okay, now make it 1. Don't say you'll never eat out again, but make it clear how you're cutting back and why. I think additionally, it's really important to make sure that as you're cutting back and as you're looking at these things, you look at what it means for you in the long run. What are you doing about your savings, investments, and other things? Just because we're in economic hard times doesn't mean that those tried and true issues aren't very important. So you do two things. One, you look at cutting back, but two, you look at shoring up. You're shoring up your economic future. Depending on where you are in your life cycle, it may make sense for you to be very clear that your cutting back is a contribution to your retirement.
Speaking of which, I've noticed that my 401k dipped last quarter. I guess it's up and down in this economy. What can I do, if anything? I mean, should I start researching about switching things around or just accept that things are going to go up and down a little bit?
Things are going to go up and down for Rye, and that's real clear. I don't know who holds your 401k. You should talk to your financial advisor there to make sure that your ups and downs are not different than the market ups and downs. In other words, you don't want to be the one who's all the way at the bottom when others were at the median. And so you want to, everyone should take time. I always advocate one money day a month to look at all your money, figure it out, talk about it, reach out to your people, make sure that you're comfortable with what's happening with the oscillations. There will be oscillations always. For the past 6 or 7 years, we saw them moving upwards. Now we're seeing them moving down. With your 401k, Farai, here's the question. How much better off are you than you were 4 years ago? And if you're better off, you've got to do some research, but don't complain.
All right. I'm not complaining. Glad I have that retirement money. Julianne, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Author and economist Julianne Malveaux is president of Bennett College, and she spoke to us from the studios of WFDD in Greensboro, North Carolina.